Sorry, Eve, we're very goofy.
Oh no, I love it. I love it.
Well, I'm goofy and B is just like rolling with it.
And I, yeah, roll my eyes affectionately. I've never done a single goofy thing in my life.
Oh, please. Oh my God. I listen to the podcast, okay? I know better.
We can't pull the wool over her eyes.
Yep, pretty much.
She's been here since the dawn of time. She's seen all and she knows all.
Aw. The all-knowing Eve.
Yes.
True. I was there when the book was written.
Welcome to the Bee and the Berry.
I'm Bee.
And I'm Strawberry.
And I don't even care about doing the intro because today is such a special day on the podcast. And for me, I'm like grinning ear to ear. I simply can't stop because today we are here on this call with my longtime fandom friend and Sonami icon, Eve Art. Welcome to the pod. We are here to pick your beautiful, beautiful brain.
Oh my God. Thank you for having me. I'm also smiling from ear to ear. My face already hurts.
Me too, dude. It's so cute. It's so cute to connect with people who are so special. And there's just so much I am excited to hear from you because we've been running in a circle together for so long, but this is the first time we've ever got to talk and it's being documented here for your pleasure, listener.
Yes.
This is really iconic. This is a moment in history right now.
In herstory.
Iconic is absolutely
herstory. Yes. Please forgive me. Herstory.
You're right. No, you're right. This is an iconic moment in herstory. I was actually thinking too, Straub, I was just, in terms of the dynamics, I was just feeling like Eve, you know, we have so much to thank you for personally. And the first is, of course, the capture of George Washington. It's kind of all thanks to you.
We would not have found George if it wasn't for you, Eve.
Yeah. And for that, I sort of was thinking that you are the vector in the Chaotix Detectives Agency.
Oh,
like,
my.
I think that you deserve that position. And you know, Straub and I are SBO and Charmy. We're here to sort of goof and gaff around.
Yeah.
Maybe do some pivotal work. But you are the person who solved that case.
Yeah.
So
oh,
thank you.
Listen, I greatly appreciate that. I will have to humbly reject that title. I feel more like I'm like the bat signal. I kind of like had the call to action there.
Right.
I didn't do any of like the legwork or something.
You know, one would call doing art legwork.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
That was smart.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was like, y'all are goofy. I love this goofy little thing. I'm going to draw this goofy little thing. And then suddenly it all worked out and you found George Washington. And I'm like, oh, I had nothing to do with this. I was just doing a silly little drawing. So.
Yeah.
Yes. And it was such a good drawing.
I should say, in this context, B is SBO and I am Charmy.
And right, of course. And as we established, I've never done anything silly or goofy in my life.
No.
And I wouldn't.
You're normal.
Call me a normie. Speaking of making silly little art, that is sort of what you do, I guess.
That's right. It is.
And you've been doing it for quite some time. You may know her on Tumblr from her incredible comic series, her OCs, her iconic OCs, Aurora, Cece, and then does wonderful Sonami art amongst many, many other things. So
Sonami.
I mean, Sonami, right. Sorry, pardon me. Sonami. Let's start kind of in the past, Eve, if you don't mind.
Of course. Of course. Let's dig deep here.
Yeah.
Let's please. Yeah, we're here to dig deep. Will you tell the beautiful listeners and also Straub and I who are so curious, just like when you first met Sonic, and then also not only when you first met Sonic, but when you first sort of reached that tipping point where you were like, oh, I love this guy, I love these characters, I love this ship, whatever it was, enough to create something for them. Like, when do you remember reaching that point where you just had to make something?
It's funny because I'm a 91 baby, just like Sonic.
Wow.
So you met Sonic at a bar.
Absolutely.
You guys share, you were born at the same hospital.
We were, actually. Our little baby bassinets were right next to each other.
They were switched at birth.
We were, actually. I was raised by hedgehogs, didn't you know? So honestly, this sounds crazy to say, but I do not have any memories that do not exist without Sonic in it.
Wow. Aww. That's beautiful.
I couldn't describe to you the first time I played the game. It was just always there. And I just, like, I think when I became sentient as a child, Sonic was already there, like, hey, thanks for joining me.
Oh, my, yeah, he was waiting.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
I've always been drawing. Mm-hmm. Ever since I was 2 years old, I picked up a pencil and I haven't stopped. So, again, I don't really have a memory of when I first started drawing Sonic. I just drew it all the time. I actually didn't share art with anyone until I was, like, 13 years old. And, 'cause, you know, as I mentioned, I'm very shy. Mm-hmm. I'm very nervous. And so I was like, I can't let anyone see the art I'm doing. Like, I get such, like, performance anxiety and stuff. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't until I was 13 and I met my best friend, shout out Dante, and I finally felt brave enough to show her the stuff I was working on. And keep in mind, she's very supportive and she likes Sonic enough, but she's not got that Sonic brain rot that we've all got.
Right. Mm-hmm. I don't know what you're talking about. I'm not affected.
Yeah, right. The people listening to this podcast have no idea what that is.
No.
So, you know, she would support my comics and want to see more of my drawings. And so I started drawing more and more and more. Mm. But it actually wasn't until 2014 I saw Sonic Boom.
Yeah.
And I was like,
yes.
Yes.
Oh, yes. My God. And
the love and joy that Sonic Boom gave me, I was like, it cannot be maintained.
Nah. Yeah.
It needs to be outside of this little circle of me. And so that's when I started posting, and that's when I found, oh my God, there are people who love Sonic as much as me. Because again, up until this point, I hadn't met anybody who had this fixation that I did. Mm-hmm. People either liked it or they, you know, kind of made fun of it, like it's popular to make fun of. Mm-hmm. But I never met anybody else who had this, like, particular just obsession. And then I see all these people online who are the same as me. And I'm like, oh, finally, I found my people.
Yeah. Wow, that's so crazy.
It's so interesting, too, Eve, because, you know, not to get too into the weeds of this, but I know that the Sonic Boom era of the franchise is one that is kind of infamous.
I loved that era, though. You're so right, Straubs. I feel like people hated it at the time, and looking back on it, there's more of an appreciation for the comedy, but I'm so happy to hear that that was also your origin. I guess I had assumed that, like, you were on Tumblr way before I ever got there, but it was Sonic Boom for me, too.
Yeah.
Well, so I had an internet presence similar to you guys starting at 16, but that was actually on DeviantArt.
Okay.
And at that time I was doing Naruto fan art. Mm. So I was online and then I migrated to Tumblr. That was right about when I was falling out of Naruto. Mm-hmm. And like I said, the love for Sonic was always there, but then it just happened to be like this perfect timing, this perfect culmination of things. Mm-hmm. And that's where it just kind of exploded.
Ugh, that's amazing.
Shout out Alan.
Shout out Alan Denton.
Yes,
absolutely.
Sonic Boom writers.
Yeah. I love that show.
Me too. And I love that world so much. I mean, Eve, the crumbs, the sonami crumbs in that show.
Absolutely.
How could you not gobble them up? Yeah.
Oh my God.
I do think about Tails licking the wall.
Yeah.
I think this wall tastes like dirt.
Eating that soup with a fork. God, it was so goofy. It was so fun. And I also, there was something about the designs too, because they were taller and lankier. I know a lot of people had a lot of feelings about them, but like it made them a little bit more edgy, a little bit more teen, late teen. Like you felt, they felt fun to play with because they,
yeah,
they were kind of terrible, but that's what made them interesting. They were like,
yeah.
They're very layered and complex and also rude.
Sonic Boom literally gave us sticks.
Yes.
Yes. God bless.
So true.
Chaos bless, I should say.
Yes.
What's funny is, so I actually started out as one of those people when I saw the Sonic Boom designs. Mm-hmm. I was like, I cannot believe this. I cannot believe they changed my babies. I was so protective of them. I remember being so mad.
Look at Knuckles.
Seriously. And now it's like one of my favorite designs. It's just one of those things. I think a lot of us have a fear of change. Yeah. And so we're quick to react without taking the time to think about, okay, it's not really changing anything. It's just artists trying something different.
Yeah.
Just kind of exploring the characters in a different way.
Right.
And, you know, I'm thankful that I was able to get past that and actually not take it at face value. Mm-hmm. And, oh, I just love it now.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. That's such a good point. I think it's so easy to react, especially on the internet.
Oh, yeah.
But it is just all exploration and it's all just content of your guys that you love. You know, you can have your opinions on it, but hopefully you can also find a way to enjoy it because those are our guys.
Yeah. And it's just fun to twist them up and put them into something new.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I love to twist those guys up.
I know you do.
I've been so excited because What Was Stolen is coming to an end. So I've been really dreaming about what's next these days on my commutes. And my heart is so pulled between this Mafia AU. And then I'm just really excited because the other one I have is a return to the Boomiverse. And I haven't done that since I was in high school writing my one-shots. But I think it'll be really fun to sort of reinvent that world as an adult.
I have a question related to that.
Yes, ma'am.
Because you have multiple ideas at a time, are you the kind of person who has to focus on one story and like get from start to finish before you can get onto the next one? Or do you work on projects simultaneously?
I do work on projects simultaneously, but I am only releasing one at a time and I don't release it until it's in a more finished state. So with What Was Stolen, I didn't start releasing that until I had like 20 chapters because then I was ahead of the game. So I think it's probably going to be a nice long while I, you know, work on all of my things. And one of them will probably catch. So like I'll write on another if I get sick of the other project. But I'm sure at some point we will reach a point where I'm like, okay, I'm really deep in this one. And so this one's going to end up coming first. And I don't know which that is at this stage. But I have started vague outlines for both of those.
Oh, I'm so excited.
I'm so glad. It just brings me so much joy to know that I like get to bring you joy because you brought me so much joy in the past.
Oh my God.
It's just a cycle of incredible content from people who inspire you. I feel so lucky. Ugh, God.
That's what I think I love most about being part of a fandom is not only do we all have the same source content that inspires us, but then getting to read other people's work that triggers an idea and you make something and then the thing you make triggers other ideas and it just becomes this huge just network of awesome.
I agree. It's so fun.
So kind of out of the early days, you know, like just talk about your experience with like those early fandom days. I know we kind of touched on it a little bit. Is there anything that you remember of or miss from like those days, and how has your like relationship with fandom changed over time?
I would definitely say, you know, those earlier years are so special to me. I mean, I was older than some other people who were in the fandom at the time, because like I said, I started on DeviantArt when I was 16, mm-hmm. but by the time I made it to Tumblr, I was in my 20s. Mm-hmm. But I was going through a lot at the time in my life. I was struggling with some emotional problems and some relationship problems. And a lot of my friends had moved away, so I felt kind of isolated.
Mm.
And so to be on Tumblr and find all of these amazing people who liked the same thing that I liked and just wanted to talk about something that we all had interest in, it made it a lot easier to connect. And I did not feel nearly as lonely as I did. So I'm very thankful for that. Obviously, there are some downsides too. Just being on the internet, there's always going to attract negativity.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I'm thankful for the friendships that I made and the connections that I made, but it didn't solve all of my emotional problems. So yeah. I needed to take the time and focus on myself. And that's one of the many reasons why I took a break.
Mm-hmm.
But so now coming back, I don't interact with people nearly as much as I did,
mm-hmm.
but I feel a lot better about it now, if that makes any sense.
It like, totally does.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I still love getting to engage with people, and I still talk to quite a few people, but I don't know. I just feel like it has changed to what I needed it to be.
Mm.
So at the time it was like a social support network kind of thing. And now it's just a celebration and getting to explore ideas.
So. Yeah. I mean, I can relate to that too. You know?
Like, totally.
As someone who also kind of just took a break from the online space, it's like, you know, at first it's like a little rough, but then you just come back in with a new perspective. And I think also just like you're a little more equipped to kind of have more boundaries on the mm-hmm, internet.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Which, you know, like that's not a bad thing. And it doesn't even, it doesn't mean that you hold the fandom space or anything with ill will. It's just more that like we all just want to kind of use the free time that we have, especially now that we're working, you know, right. like to use our time to engage with things that bring us joy. And mm-hmm, that is yes. the main reason why I celebrate the blue rat, because yes. he brings me joy.
Yeah, it's so crazy. Just thinking back on it, this is how long we have ran in the same circles, Straubs, is that Eve and I both like posted and met and saw peripherally when we both met our future husbands. Like,
oh my God.
We were on Tumblr and I was like, I'm going on a date with a boy. And then Eve was also like, this relationship's going really well. Like, we both were sort of getting to know the people who would be our future husbands that many years ago.
Aww.
Separately.
Yeah, the parallels are crazy
they
in that
are.
Way.
They are. And then we were both gone for 8 years. Yeah, came back. I think your story and all of our stories here on this call are very, like you said, relatable, Straubs, because I think so many people do go in search of communities that love the things they love because they are lonely or they don't have that immediately. And that's beautiful and that's great, but the reality is that you will always have a physical life that you have to live. And so yes. while the social circle of close people on the internet is so fantastic and can give you a lot, it cannot give you everything. There no. is no way for that to be true. And so I think for me, the break was so imperative too, because it just allowed me to establish myself in my physical life in a way that made my ability to engage with social fandom so much more healthy and fulfilling.
And also sometimes mm-hmm. you end up finding people that you connect with in real life that do enjoy elements totally. Of fandom.
Totally. Eve, selfish question.
Okay.
Do you remember any of the one-shots I was doing back then? Like, is there any story that you remember that was like, oh, that was good? Because I don't remember what I made. As the person who made it, I lose track of it. Tell me what you remember of. Tell me what you remember of me.
Oh my god. Okay. Well, first of all, I know exactly what you mean, because when you make so much stuff, you kind of like you get it out of your brain and then you move on to the next thing. Mm-hmm. So I 100% get that.
Yeah.
What's funny is there's one story of yours that I still to this day will go back and read.
No.
And I listen, I still love it, but wow, it is,
it doesn't hold up.
Night and day. It is night and day. actually, it was,
I love
that. You wrote a little story based off of a drawing I did that was Sonic and Amy kissing in the rain.
Oh. Yes, I and love that. So, yes. I love that image.
Oh, thank you. And speaking of, like, I when I look back at my old art, I'm like, oh my god.
That's why I don't read my old stuff. I truly could not.
If you don't love B at
her 2016 high school writing skills,
you can't have her at her What Was Stolen.
So, exactly. Last novel. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. But you know, it was so just meaningful to me that drawing I did spoke to you and you wanted to expand on it. So that one holds a special place in my heart.
Bitch, one day I'll rewrite it for you.
Oh my god. You don't have to, but if you ever did, I will physically cry.
Oh, well, I love to make you cry. Absolutely.
You're very good at it.
Oh,
you're very
no.
good at it. In a good
so
way.
Sweet.
In a good way.
So sweet. I have it on the docket to go back and rewrite those one shots because I'm sure there's something in there, you know, like it established, you know, a space for me in fandom, and that's very fun. But God, I'm sure you're right. I just can't touch them. I'll cringe myself out.
That's
well,
real.
Also, I feel like the ideas we had when we were, you know, even if it's an idea we've had for a very long time, the way that we go about completing them now would be so different than what we did in the past. Like, for example, my comic, My Gal, which is a son of me
iconic
comic, started in 2015. And then I happened to take my hiatus before I finished it. And I just finished it, I think it was last year, 2024. Yeah. And the ending is so different than what I originally had. And thank God, I know that people were upset with me for taking a break and they didn't get the end of that comic. But believe me, if you saw what it was supposed to be, you would be so disappointed.
Eve, now you have to tell us what it was supposed to be. First of all, everybody, this is your call to action to go read My Gal, which when you came back and started finishing that, I mean, I am sure I am one of many people who's like, oh my God, finally, like, I'm so excited. Like, I don't know. I feel like I never blamed anybody for taking breaks or taking time away because I did the exact same thing. And also, you just have to be aware that people are human beings on the internet. They're human beings on the internet. So it's just like so unfair to ever go and be like, why can't you do this? Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
But that does not mean that I was not so excited when you came back and started finishing it. So please, please, if you feel comfortable, you have to tell us how it was going to originally end.
Oh my God. It was so anticlimactic. I'm not even, like, it's embarrassing to even talk about, but of course we'll talk about it. So they were gonna do their dance, not nearly as romantic as it was. It was actually a sad dance. So it was gonna be to Meghan Trainor's Just a Friend.
Oh
my God.
Total shift in mood than what I ended up doing. And that was gonna be kind of like a sour note on the date. And so they were gonna go back to her house. She was gonna just kind of nervously be like, hey, was this a date? And he, oh my God, I can't believe this. He was gonna be like, well, not if you're gonna be weird about it.
Oh my God.
He heard and he's like, I'm just messing with you, it's totally fine. And they were like, great, let's do this again. No kiss goodnight,
No.
No proclamation of love.
Wow.
That was it.
Wow.
Pathetic.
Not pathetic. Not pathetic.
So could you imagine waiting like 8 years for that?
Not if you're gonna be weird about it. It's so savage.
It really is. That's why they had Eggman say that line in Sonic 3. Like,
yeah,
Sonic should not be saying that.
Yeah. Oh, that's, I love so to funny. Hear that. That is really fun. God, I love knowing the behind the scenes of people's stories and how they create. Amazing. My next question for you, as a fellow introvert, then, and also a person with a sizable following and legacy, like, how do you handle that attention and also engaging with people? I feel like every time you enter a space, which I did invite you to come enter a space and work on a project, and it's just so funny. I mean, you're so beloved. Like, you entered the Discord and everybody's like, oh my God, even I have loved you for such a long time. Like, how does that make you feel? How do you engage with it? How do you hold your boundaries? But, like, I don't know. How do you handle having such a following and a legacy?
Well, first and foremost, I'm really thankful and just constantly in shock. I don't, I don't get what you guys see, but thank you.
Oh, you're not allowed on the podcast if you're gonna be self-deprecating about my favorite Sonami artist, Eve.
Literally.
Oh my God. I'm actually gonna cry. I'm very thankful, and it blows my mind every time. Mm-hmm. I've always had this weird thing where I'm very shy and I don't want to be the center of attention, but mm-hmm. I also desperately need attention. So I think that's why I started posting my art online.
You're not
the first
guest on the podcast to say that they desire attention.
Okay, good. I'm not alone.
No.
I didn't anticipate getting the response that I did. And so in the beginning, I didn't guard myself as well as I should have. Mm-hmm. I was, raised with internet safety and stuff. So I, was careful about what information I put on there. But I'm a very honest person and I like to talk honestly about everything. So more than just my art, I like talking about the things I go through and connecting with other people, which is good. But then you risk the parasocial relationship.
Yeah,
and so I've had a few instances of that, and it's not all bad. For the most part, it's been good, but there have been a couple instances that like really made me have to take a step back and go, okay, I gotta be more discretionary about who I talk to regularly. So when people comment on my stuff, I love reading comments and I always thank them. And whenever people say that my art's made a difference for them, like that means the world to me. And, so I'm super appreciative of that. But, it's just, navigating online relationships is interesting. And, I don't know that I answered that.
You did.
No, I mean,
you totally did. I'm really glad that you brought up the word parasocial. I mean, Straub and I are but lowly fanfic writers. But there have been people on the pod and also artists just like amass these huge followings. I am so interested to hear about that experience because I'm sure it can be, difficult to navigate.
Yeah. And we at the Bee and the Berry support boundaries.
We love boundaries.
Yes.
I think another part that made it difficult is people think that they know you super well, even if you've never spoken.
Mm.
And so I've had people there's trolls out there. Of course, you're going to deal with that.
Right.
And I can normally brush that off. But I don't know. I guess what's more upsetting to me are the people who make assumptions about me. And
yeah.
I don't know. It's just a weird, like,
being online and having a presence online, people make assumptions about you mm-hmm. and opinions of you without ever even getting to know you. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
it's an interesting experience.
I am sure also that that feels pretty on par with the other creators that I've gotten to connect with.
So do you get like bad faith criticism or trolling often, Eve? Do you like, do people come after you? That's not a fun question, but I'm just wondering how often you sort of deal with vitriol, like straight up bad faith vitriol.
Well, I don't know how it compares to other people, so I can't say whether it's like less than normal or more than normal. It's mm-hmm. certainly more than I would like.
Sure.
But, you know, like I said, it's the good far outweighs the bad. Mm. And I've been on the internet so long that I've learned to mostly ignore it. They really just want attention.
Mm.
So 9 out of 10 times I can just like block, delete. I don't think about it again. But every so often I'll get like a comment, and it's normally not even directed to me. It's about me, and then it's brought to my attention. And I just, I'm in my 30s and I shouldn't be letting this bother me, but it'll just like completely just destroy me.
Ugh.
And those are rough, but luckily those are pretty rare. They don't happen too often.
That's good. What do you do when those do happen to sort of like reground yourself and yourself, or remind yourself, you know, what reality is?
Well, luckily I do have the support of my husband, and even though he's not like part of fandom culture, he is aware of like my presence online and stuff, and he knows who I am as a person, so he just reminds me like, hey, these people don't know anything about you. You are a good person. You try to make people happy. You do these nice things. Like, they're just bored. So that's really helpful. Yeah, I just, I guess sometimes it's good for me to like just shut down the computer, step away from the phone.
Yeah.
And of course, always go back to watching or playing Sonic.
Exactly.
Should we talk about, so Sonic Boom obviously is a big one. This isn't a question that Straubs and I wrote out beforehand, but on the topic of going back to Sonic, what are your like favorite Sonic things to revisit, and or like your pivotal favorite pieces of Sonic media?
Sonic Boom for sure. Just because I still laugh to this day.
Yes.
Yeah. It is my kind of humor, and it, oh my God, I just get in such a good mood. Obviously Sonic Adventure 2. I actually pulled out the GameCube a couple months ago and was playing it again. And then more recently, actually, the murder of Sonic the Hedgehog.
Oh my god,
did you two play it?
Absolutely. Yes.
I need to replay it.
Honestly, you're right.
I love it so much. The art is beautiful.
The
writing is funny. Oh my God, it's just one of the things I love about this franchise is that they are so good to their fans. And they just made this thing for us for free.
Yeah, I know. So, and it's truly so fun and joyful. And I can't believe it came out for free. Crazy.
Yeah, that was the best April Fool's prank ever.
I really thought it was a prank. I could not believe that it was real. And then I got home and I was like, oh my God.
I know. It's so shocking. Yeah, there's so many good bits. And I love seeing all the characters in costume. Like, scratch that AU itch. I love it.
Oh my gosh. Eve, I just have to say, you wore the Amy murder dress.
Oh, yeah.
To Sonic Symphony. I remember you showed us online, and it was so pretty.
So cute.
I have to say that.
Thank you so much. Yeah, that was, I had never actually cosplayed as Amy before. And so I was like, well, if I'm going to do it, I got to do it for this iconic outfit.
Of course.
Yeah, so good. An iconic Amy Rose moment, honestly. That game, she was really shining in that game.
Yes.
It was her birthday.
I know.
Loved
it. Her God party.
Bless it.
Everybody showing up to make her happy. Ugh,
yes. God.
So, should we switch gears to actually talk about art instead of fandom?
Yeah, just you know, what are your rituals when you draw? And, you know, like, how do you do your best work? And, you know, what helps you to finish a project or see something through even after that first bit of motivation passes?
I am one of those people who I always have a million ideas in my head. The best way that I can describe it is like when you see white noise on a television and it's just millions and millions of pixels.
Yeah.
That's like what's constantly in my brain. And so the only way I can kind of deal with that is to actually get the ideas out. So I think the first part of my process is deciding what of these ideas just need to be like a little doodle, or what's going to be a fully rendered colored piece, what's going to be comics, what's going to be writing, because I actually write fan fiction as well.
Yes.
And so that's like phase one. And then let's say this is going to be a fully rendered piece. My setup is so not healthy for me as an artist. Like, I know I'm going to have serious back problems, but I always draw on my couch rolled up in a ball a la Sonic spin dashing. I have to have sound, so I'm either listening to music or I've got YouTube on or something. I need sound going on. And then I just kind of lock in. And I will just draw constantly until it's time to go to bed, sometimes way past bedtime.
You know, it's so funny that you say that, because I was actually going to, like, ask at a certain point, you know, are you team create with music or create in silence?
I cannot create without any sound on that.
It's crazy.
No disrespect.
Yeah, no, but disrespect her.
But it clearly works, because I have read your Tales solo adventure. I love it. And so I'm like, I don't know how you write without music, but it's working for you. So please keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you. No, you know what it is? It's like I can barely hear the thoughts in my own head. I can't have music on top of that. I won't hear anything. I get overstimulated.
I think for me, the music and sound suppresses those other thoughts.
Yeah.
For me, so I can focus on the one at a time.
Yeah.
I do find it so interesting that you do music for a career, or at least you went to school for it, and yet
yes.
You can't work with music on.
Well, because for me, like, I grew up playing the piano. I did arranging and all that stuff. And it's like when I listen to music, I want to just sit with the music and pick apart every single layer of it. So when it comes to other creative processes, it's just distracting to me, because I'm like, no, I need to hear how that bass line goes. I can't consume media passively. It's either I have to have my undivided attention to it, or it's not there at all.
Okay, I can totally get that then, because I was going to pursue a career in film originally.
Mm.
I didn't end up doing that, but I still love it. And just like you said, like, I can't watch a movie or a show without thinking, okay, how did they do that? Or I would have done it this way. But so I get it. I just never thought that music worked that way too, but that makes sense.
Yeah.
Did you want to be an animator, Eve, or a director, or what was your original desire?
It was both. So I spent most of my life thinking I was going to be a director. I remember, like, my kindergarten 5-year-old graduation, everybody else was saying they're going to be like an astronaut or whatever. And I was like, I'm going to be a director. And I had that plan all the way up until I was in college. I finished my first semester and I was just like, you know what, I don't think this is for me.
Yeah.
And so that's when I pivoted, and originally I was like, okay, let's do animation, but I didn't go to a school that was for animation. I actually didn't take that many art classes all throughout my school years.
Really?
So a lot of my stuff is
self-taught. And so,
man, that's so cool.
Yeah. So, you know, I haven't given up on that, but you know, your goals change.
Mm-hmm.
I like what I'm doing right now. And then I get to do all these illustrations for fun. And, I think my next thing that I want to do for sure, I want to do like official comic art.
Ooh, that's
on my dream board, on my vision board. That's what I'm manifesting.
Yeah, I love that. That's a great dream.
Well, I also think too, Eve, especially with the scope of, like, from what I see with the scope of your fandom projects, like, even though
Boom Baby is huge. Boom Baby is like, I loved that when it came out, and it was so long. I was like, what do you mean this keeps going and I get to keep reading more? Yeah, the scope of your projects is massive.
Yeah. And so, like, even if directing wasn't necessarily, you know, what you ended up like doing, like, I still feel like there is that element of being able to put together large bodies of work. You know, there is still like to have a vision and to be able to craft it as you see fit. I think people don't really realize that the reason why you only have so many of these large scale fan projects is because it's really, really hard. You know, it takes a lot of time, personal time that, you know, you're not getting paid for it. You're doing it for the joy of the art, the joy of these characters.
And no guarantee that anybody is going to see it or latch onto it or that it'll reach a wide audience.
Right.
You know, and to be able to say, I'm going to spend hours working on this thing and put it out there with, you know, my little hopes and dreams attached. And it's just... It's really monumental. And I think people, like, especially if you are just starting out with content creation or, you know, art, or if maybe you haven't done art as much before, like, these are big undertakings.
Yeah.
They're huge. For
sure. I, if you don't mind me asking, because I know that Reaching New Heights is your first fan fiction. How do you feel taking on massive projects like this? It can be overwhelming, even though it's something fun and this is something we do for ourselves. So what has that experience been like for you, that this is like your first step into making fan works and you jumped in the deep end with this giant project?
You did jump into the deep end. That's true.
You know, it's so funny that you say that. I guess I'm gonna be like really candid. Like, I'm kind of freaking out. I was originally just going to keep this to myself, but yeah, I'm a little bit, I think when I started this fic, I was going through a lot. I had gotten, because, you know, that was after the pandemic, after I, you know, graduated school and, you know, had my first job and everything. And I wanted to get back into fandom again. Because I was, you know, I was involved in fandom stuff, like, when I was in high school, but, you know, during college, I wasn't. And when I wrote, it was really just, I wanted to feel that joy of writing for fandom, and it's been fun. I think what has been happening for me is that I have really been connecting and, you know, learning from so many wonderful people. I've learned so much from B alone. But
so
also just like other people that I've met through, you know, my friends from the Bumblecast and other people that I've connected with. And I think it's one of those things where you start to feel yourself wanting to hold yourself to a new standard and realizing that things are not working out with your original approach. So I'm trying to be gentle with myself and to say I'm going to accept, you know, however this turned out, because I'm like, okay, like, there's some things in here that maybe I would, you know, not have done or not have included, but I am going to, for right now, just be like, you know what, I'm going to be gentle with myself and allow my work to, you know, to honor basically where I started from, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So that's like, that's a very long-winded answer. I did not mean to derail your episode, Evie.
I love that.
Yeah, that's part of the reason why progress has been so slow is I'm just like, oh, like, I mean, also life has taken me in many directions at this point. but I want to be kinder to myself because I have always, unfortunately, been the kind of person where when I don't like something, I want to just throw it out and stop.
No, so, you are not allowed to do that. Yeah, simply not allowed.
No, and I don't want to do that anymore. It's just that personal working through that hurdle.
Well, I feel like the amazing thing about fan content too, and especially fan writing, is, and this is why like I just didn't start publishing, is because I got to fucking chapter 7 of Writing What Was Stolen, and I had to go back to the drawing board and like go fundamentally add in some new plot points to like get more intrigue to carry us into Act 2. And like, obviously you started publishing already, but guess what? That actually means nothing. And you're allowed to go change your stuff at any point and rework whatever you want. And when I had released the first 15 chapters, like I paused over break and I was like, hey, I'm not releasing anything new. I'm just cleaning my first 15 again because I want them. At that point, it had kind of taken off. I knew more people were looking at it and I knew I wanted them to like there was always room for improvement. So I stopped and just cleaned for like several months. And that was really fun and worthwhile, too, because it made me feel better about, you know, the first half of this very long story. So I don't know. You are always allowed to go rework and change. But yeah, never throw your stuff out.
That's the other thing that I'm feeling, too, is like, oh, yeah, like I have the visibility. I'm sure you have felt this way in some capacity, Eve, of like, oh, like you have more eyes on you. And so you're starting to kind of rethink things because, you know, even though we all want to have the thick skin, sometimes it can just be a little tough. But you also just want to make sure that you're putting your best foot out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you for sharing that. I almost doxed you, Straubs.
It wouldn't be a podcast episode without you almost doing that.
No, no. We unfortunately probably would have had to lock you in the dungeon never to leave, though, if you knew her real name without me being able to edit it out.
That's okay. I'm not an outdoorsy person anyway. So.
Okay, good. I'm glad surrendering your freedom wouldn't be a problem in case it does still happen.
You know, also, this just proves Eve is a real OG fan of the Bee and the Berry. Eve knows our roots.
Oh, yeah.
God, I'm getting better at it.
You are.
Speaking of OG and knowing things that we've talked about on the Bee and the Berry, and this is kind of one of the last questions. We'll wrap it up and then read your cards, your tarot cards. Aww. I would love for you to talk about OCs because Straub and I have famously hot take not really made OCs or dabbled in OCs. You know, we have spoken about how OCs just don't quite speak to us, at least yet. You know, there's always room, but
yes.
Talk to us about your OCs and just like, how did you make them, their origin story? How do you design your OCs? What makes impactful character design for you? And also, what do your OCs mean to you? Like, you know, what emotional connection do you have with them?
First of all, I do not blame people who are not fans of OCs. I totally get it. With the Sonic franchise in particular, like you two have mentioned, like there's such a huge cast already established.
Yeah.
So I don't blame you for mostly wanting to play around with the cast that's already there. For me, I don't know. I always loved character exploration and character design in general.
Mm.
So this sounds weird, but I will have like a problem. Mm-hmm. And then I have the character as a solution, but it isn't necessarily, I'll give Cece as an example. She's
Cece. Please talk about Cece.
So she was interesting because so
For those of you who don't know, she is a robot. She was previously like a round little robot that was built by a scientist that was not Eggman. Mm-hmm. And she was named Code Compiler, and she just had one simple job. She was supposed to help with manufacturing, but her artificial intelligence was more advanced than he accounted for, and so she started to become sentient. She started to question what life is. She started to realize that the shell of the body that she was in didn't match what she felt on the inside. So her character arc is about figuring out who she is, building herself a body that's more, I use the word Mobian generically, even though I don't count the Archie and all that. But so she identifies as Mobian. She identifies herself as just like a member of Team Sonic. And so her journey's been, how does she become more organic? Because that's what she sees herself as. Now, I wasn't just sitting there one day and going, oh, I want a robot character that will. I remember the first time I thought of her, I was actually in the car driving, and suddenly she just was like in my head. She was just there. And
like the vision of her design?
Yes.
Wow.
So her in her robotic Mobian form, she was just there. And so I got home, and it's a lot of the times it's almost like automatic writing for me. I just kind of sit there and I let the character tell me about itself. And I will, if I'm designing, then I'll draw several things. And a lot of times it's almost like I hear a voice in my head that's like, my hair doesn't look like that. Or I'm taller than that.
That's
or
so things cool. like that.
It sounds a little strange, but
no,
that's,
not at all.
That's the best way I can describe it.
That's really cool.
It's your process.
Yeah.
So that's basically my process with designing characters. I just kind of let them dictate what's going to happen. Obviously, I have an emotional connection with all of them. Even the little background characters in my comics, like, they're like, because they're just in my head, and they're like, I want to be in this scene. So, you know, they all feel alive to me. My most precious of my OCs, though, has to be Aurora, who is the fan child of Sonic and Amy. And
sweet, perfect angel baby. I think of Aurora, and I think of that like meme from, I don't know what show it is, but the judge looking at Jenny Slate and going like, you're perfect, I love you, you've never done anything wrong. That's what I think of. And I'm the judge, and Jenny Slate is Aurora.
That makes me so happy. She's special to me, not only just because I feel like a part of my soul went into her when I was making her. Not that she's a self-insert. She and I actually are not alike. But, you know, whenever you make anything as an artist, there's a part of you in it.
Totally.
So she's special in that way. But also, you know, Son Amy is the OTP for me. And so when I was making Aurora, I'm like, we have two of the greatest characters of all time who, in my opinion, have just the most beautiful, pure, fun love.
Yeah.
What would the culmination of that love and joy and goodness be? And so that's where Aurora came from. And that's part of the reason why she has light powers, because she's like the physical manifestation of their light.
So. Cute.
Yes. Well, I also just think it's so sweet, like, OCs to be, like, your characters to just be either little extensions of you, extensions of your passion for the world that has been created, you know? And I think that people really see and feel that, you know, when they read your comics and your work.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
I'm so thankful for that, because, like I said, I understand when people aren't interested in OCs. So I really didn't expect any of my characters to take off. I'm just drawing and writing. So I'm like, I'm just making stuff. And if you like it, that's great. If you don't, that's fine. But I've been surprised at the connection that people have made with my characters. So I'm thankful that people are interested. I'm thankful that people not only see bits of me in them, but most importantly, that they see themselves in my characters. Mm-hmm. And I think that's another one of the reasons why I just love writing for them, because I feel like I'm making a connection with somebody. Ugh. Like, we have a soul to soul moment.
And I think it also, to me, just touches on something that is so difficult to teach, you know, when you've been in art classes or even like drama classes, right? Just authenticity. To have authenticity in your work. I guess the way that I would kind of put it is to teach people how to have passion about the things that they create, because, you know, I see it in both of your works.
And your work.
Just but, you know, just like, it's so hard to describe, but I think that is the thing that really makes it so relatable. And even if it's not relatable to people, I think, like, people still feel that, you know, like, right. When you think of all of the little details and, you know, all of those little, like, loops that you're tying in throughout the stories. So it's really fun for people to see a little map, I think, of the inner workings of your mind.
Ugh, totally. It makes me think of when you illustrated the town dance scene, Eve, and the way you staged your illustration of it was so cool. I would never have thought to frame it that way, but with her on stage and the crown and him in the reflection of the crown, I was like, this is so genius. Such a beautiful new way to see the scene, and only you could have thought of it. Only you saw it that way when you read it. It's amazing.
Well, I credit the way that you painted the picture with your words. And this is for both of you and for a lot of fanfics that I read. Like, I feel like the joy of creation is contagious.
Mm.
And so I can tell when a creator has really loved working on something. And it doesn't necessarily have to be a happy thing. It can be a sad thing. But when I can tell that they're passionate about it, it fills me with that passion. It makes me enjoy it even more. And so even if maybe for that scene, that's not exactly how you were seeing it in your brain, just the amount of emotion and thought and metaphor that you put into it, that's what made it easy for me to translate.
You translated it so beautifully. The phrase, the joy of creation is contagious, is going to stick with me. That was so beautiful.
Really, I'm going to turn into weepy kitty now.
It's so true, though. Goddamn. I love talking. Everybody we interview on here has such incredible wisdom to share. It's amazing. We have like one big question that we ask at the end to sort of round out things, but I do want to open the floor to you, Eve. I mean, do you want to talk about Sanevi?
When don't I? Okay. I have it tattooed on my body.
That's amazing.
Okay.
As you should.
I could do this all day, so I don't want to eat up your time, but just, I love it. Does not need to be canon for me to love it, but if it became canon, like, I could peacefully ascend from this planet. I would have met all of my needs. What a sweet, I've got a pain in my cheeks right now. I can't even talk about
it. No, I know. The joy they bring is truly transcendent. Here's a question for you on the topic of Sanemi.
Okay.
What is your best case scenario for, and spoiler alert, Sonic movie 4? Like, in your dream of dreams, what's happening in Sonic movie 4? Like, if you were to sit in the cinema in 2020, the year of our Lord 2027, when this comes out, and this happened on screen in front of you, like, what's your ideal?
First and foremost, they got a kiss. Come on. We need the smooch. Even if it's just a little...
I'm holding out for a cheek kiss.
Cheek
for
kiss.
Sure.
I'm sure that is high hopes for me. I'm talking big, and now I will come down.
if a smooch happened, I might pass away, you know?
That's what I want. I want
to die happy. Please. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yes, exactly. No, in realistic terms, I would just love mutual adoration, mutual fondness of each other. We have seen Sonic and Amy's relationship change throughout the franchise, whether you ship it or not. Their dynamic has definitely evolved since Amy's initial introduction, I think for the better.
Yeah.
We certainly have seen healthier changes on both of their parts. Now, I've loved Son Amy from the beginning, so right. I loved even back then when it was maybe a little bit more problematic. but now, you know, getting to see Amy as a treasured friend and someone that Sonic relies on, and also someone that helps ground Sonic, I think is really important. And also us getting to see Sonic show a more honesty with himself. More not the guy that always runs away from his feelings or doesn't want to think about things because it's too complicated. I think it's healthy to have these kind of thoughts with yourself. And so I think just if we can get in Sonic 4, not the typical, oh, you're a girl, you like me, I'm going to run away from you. Anything that is deeper than that, I will be thrilled.
I really think it is going to be a little bit of a flipped script with Sonic just catching feelings first. Okay, I know that people have feelings about the human characters. I personally, I'm chill with them, you know. I'm rocking with Tom if Tom's rocking with me. I do want the sequence of Tom trying to teach Sonic.
Oh, yes.
You
how
know.
To flirt?
Yes. You know, and just like, again, like Sonic trying to talk to Amy and just failing. You know,
yes.
just being an idiot. Meanwhile, Knuckles and Tails are just like cheering him on in the background.
Yeah,
love to see absolutely him make a fool of himself.
Like, because I don't know, movie Sonic is really endearing to me. I love that guy. He's so little precious. Guy, little guy. He just wants to do TikTok dances and floss.
That's what would make it more fun if he really is the one that has a crush on her, which of course how could he not? I mean, she is
yeah. everything.
She's so impressive. She's so strong.
Oh my god.
Oh my god. I screamed in the theater.
Oh, me too, dude.
I literally, it was like a primal scream.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. So if he's not immediately in love with her, then he's insane. I don't know what to tell him.
He doesn't have eyes.
Yes. That's the thing. It's like, you know what? If nothing else, this little obnoxious but lovable blue hedgehog gives me a reason to wake up every day and look forward to something. So I've got that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That is kind of the big final question is, why do you create Eevee?
I think it's just because I have this overwhelming love that I have to express. It's too much to hold within myself, and so I need to explore it in different ways. And there's something about the Sonic franchise that just speaks to me on a way that it's difficult to explain.
Yeah.
The whole message I get from Sonic is that this life is a beautiful, miraculous, fleeting thing, and we have to make the most of it with the time that we've got. So why not do it being our most authentic self, spreading as much joy as possible, and just loving others and loving this planet that we're on. And I just think that's a beautiful way to live.
I love that. With that beautiful thought in mind, shall we consult the cosmos and the queen of the stars, Amy Rose?
We should. Yes.
I'm so excited. Oh my god.
How many cards would you like us to draw for you?
Yeah, Eevee? We will do more than a 2-card spread for you, Eevee. The two card is more or less, the three card is past, present, future, and then the four card is a journey, and it's inciting incident, prophecy, obstacle, and destination.
Oh my god. Well, if you're gonna give me the option, I say let's go ham. Let's go all the way. Let's go four.
All the way.
Okay. Yeah. Right. Are you okay doing the poll, Strub?
Yeah, I'll do the poll, and then I'll take a picture and send it your way.
Amazing. Well, do you have a thought or a question? Essentially, it, you know, might be helpful. Is there a journey coming up that you would like direction on, or is there something on your mind that you'd love, you know, some guiding tent posts about? We had the lovely Gigi Dutre on a little bit ago, and they asked questions sort of like, how do I find more self-acceptance right now? Or how do I, you know, like, how can I best embrace happiness? Like, things like that, things they were wondering about. Anything weighing on your mind that you want to help direct this read?
There are definitely some life goals that I want to pursue, especially this year.
Mm-hmm.
Both career and personal wise. So,
okay. Reaching goals for the year. Incredible.
We are reaching into the cosmos. We are imbuing the cards with the energy of the lovely and Eve. Almost omnipotent Amy Rose, please guide. omnipotent Amy, please guide us as we dive on this journey for this card reading. All right, Eve, I am waving my hand over these spread out cards, and you just tell me when to stop.
Now.
Okay. That is card number one. I'll do this again. So I'm waving my hands over the cards.
By the rivers of Babylon.
Oh, here we go. Oh, yeah. Now.
Ooh, okay. It's card number two. And then I'm doing it again.
Yeah.
Perfect. Last one.
Yeah.
Wow. Exciting.
Gotcha. Ooh, okay.
I already get good vibes. You picked the right cards.
Oh, thank goodness.
Yes. Well, Amy did.
Amy did, yes. Thank you, Amy.
Have you seen that clip of the character Philomena Kunk, you know, being like, does the universe play Sonic the Hedgehog through me? Or does Sonic the Hedgehog play Sonic the Hedgehog through me?
I'm dead.
It's like, is Amy Rose reading the tarot cards through me? Or is the universe using me to read the tarot cards through Amy Rose?
Exactly.
Oh my god.
I don't know.
All right. Well, I am flipping them over. Ooh. Ooh. Okay. So we have first card is the Page of Water, and it is in the Hero, or what is it? Hero Draw? Yeah Hero Draw.
Hero is the regular upright.
The second card, also a Hero Draw, is the Three of Water. And it's a little group of flickies. The third card, also Hero Draw, is none other than the King of Rings, Sonic the Hedgehog.
Wow.
Oh my god.
And the last card, which is really interesting to me, it is a dark draw of the King of Fire, Silver.
Wow.
Interesting.
Oh my gosh.
I'm gonna take a picture. And of course, if you would also like to consult.
Absolutely.
Consult the guidebook.
I am consulting the guidebook. Ugh, wow. You have Silver and Sonic in one journey?
Yeah.
Huge. Okay, let me find this.
When did you start shipping them? That's what I want to know.
Okay, here's my origin story. Is one day my mom brought home a red box with selected episodes from Sonic X.
Oh,
and
come on.
Yeah. And that one was when I was like, oh, I do love them.
Yes. Yes.
And after that, I like pirated all of Sonic X because I didn't, you know, streaming wasn't really a thing at the time. And I loved them in secret after that. Like, I just, you know, got on DeviantArt. I was looking around. I watched that show so much. Like you, it wasn't until Sonic Boom that I, like, knew Tumblr existed and got onto Tumblr and started writing. Because that was just the universe, you know? That was the universe. Yeah. Where they were dating. They were dating in that universe.
They absolutely were.
Thank you so much.
They did not
much.
Want us to know, but yeah. They were terrible at hiding it.
They were so bad. Dating. Thank you. Okay, I'm so glad. they were doing it in secret.
They were. I can't believe I forgot to mention Sonic X as one of my highlighted joys of the Sonic franchise, because God bless it. It's so good.
Yeah. I think this is kind of my general synthesis of the cards, is that your journey is going to be filled with abundance, and it's going to be about you taking the time to choose. I am seeing, you know, especially with the page and the Three of Water, those cards, you know, even again, like with King of Rings, yeah, just a lot of abundance in the journey, you know, where, I think you're going to go and have, like, a lot to choose from, but then you are ultimately, it's going to be about making a choice and making a choice carefully. So, yeah, I don't know if anything else is, like, really jumping out at you, B, but that's kind of
Absolutely. That's amazing. I love the interpretation of the Sonic card and the obstacle, which the Sonic card is about, you know, endless possibilities and prosperity and security that allows you to be free, as being sort of like an abundance of choices or options. I think that's such a good read, because I am kind of thinking about this in the career way specifically, because you mentioned you have so many dreams and goals and you are so... you just create so much. It's incredible. But I just want to get into a little bit of the specifics that I like for each of these cards. So the Page of Water is in the inciting incident slot. And this card is super cute. One, it's beautiful. But also the book highlights that this is a good omen, and that fortune is smiling on you. Which I think is super exciting and thrilling. Like, it's sort of a signal that this could be the time, you know, if you are feeling that this is the time, then you're right and you should trust that feeling. And also good fortune, again, leads to that thing of abundance that you were talking about, Straub, is you have so much at your disposal already. You've worked so hard. You have a lot of great work to show for all the things that you've done. Like, now is the time. And then the second card, which is the Prophecy, the Fortune. There's another thing I really liked in there. Hold on, let me find my page again. Oh, yes. We've seen this card before. So this is the Three of Water. And the hero draw is about community and connection. And so I think something, and this also just comes from my journey in, you know, my set career path and in entertainment, is that, and especially as an introvert, the thing that I have had to work the hardest at is networking and reaching out to people, following up, communication, and just putting myself out there. And that is always going to be a struggle. But I think this card in the Prophecy place is really showing you that connections are things to be leveraged. You have them, and also you are a fantastic person to know. You're a fantastic person to have on a team. Like, you should leverage those connections because they want to listen to you and they want to help you. It's hard and it takes work, but like, community and people are the things that get you jobs and opportunities. I don't know. On a personal note, I have a LinkedIn, and anytime I apply to a job, I just search on LinkedIn blank recruiter, you know, whatever the company is that I'm applying for, and then send out a message to like any recruiter I can find, like, hi, I'm just wanted to reach out and introduce myself in person. I just applied to this job.
Did
and I
you
think
dox yourself?
Fit. Oh, fuck!
Oh my God, you finally did it to yourself!
Damn it. Fuck and piss and bastard. Shit. I can't believe I did that.
Oh. That's amazing. I can't believe I...
This sucks because here's what is happening. Here's the paradigm shift that's happening is I got good at not doxing you and now I'm getting bad at not doxing myself. Fuck. Ime, I'm so sorry. I have to put the handcuffs on you and guide you to the dungeon. Wow.
Here we go.
I think you can say hi to
Sonic down there.
Fuck. Okay, so I reach out to the recruiters and I say, hi, my name is B. I just applied to this job. I would love to talk to you or the right person about my skills because I think I'm a great fit. And usually people don't respond to me, but 1 out of 5 times somebody will, and those connections will always matter even if you don't get that job. If you apply to one in the future, bam, that's a person to reach out to. So I think that card just highlights that people and connection are a resource that you have. And then I love your read of the Sonic Abundance card, and I love your read of the Silver in the Dark Draw. Oh, yeah, and also the Silver in the Dark Draw talks about setting realistic goals and encouraging you to appreciate the efforts and limitations that you're working with. And I think just like when you want big life change to happen or when you're reaching for huge, huge goals, I just think about setting resolutions. Every year I want to set really lofty resolutions like I will get a big brand new job or I will get published or whatever. And the truth is you actually have no control over those resolutions. The resolutions that you do have control over are things like I will connect with 5 new people on LinkedIn or I will write twice a week at least 300 words. Those are like the small goals that lead to the big goals that you actually have control over in the moment. So I think it's helpful along the way. The destination is the realistic goals, like I will go to this many, you know, cons or Lightbox, like I'm going to go to Lightbox this year or whatever. Things like that that you actually have control over, and then taking the time after you reach those goals to be like, great, you did it. And that was a real step that has makes a tangible difference in me getting to my ultimate goal. So there you go.
Oh my gosh. You guys, thank you so much for that. And thank you to Amy Rose as
Thank
well.
You to Amy Rose. Absolutely.
Wow. That was everything I could have hoped.
Really?
It could have been.
Oh, yes. I'm so glad.
Yes. So thank you both so much for that.
Thank you so thank much you. For being here.
We're so happy.
Thank you for talking to me. Thank you for sharing your love with me and just this super fun experience. I feel like, as I said, I'm a fan of the pod, and so it feels so a sweet. Little bit like almost like imposter syndrome. I'm like, why do you no. have me on as a guest?
Oh, we're literally so, just girls.
You're so kooky for that. We are just girls, and we are huge fans of you.
You've been like supporting us from the beginning for real. Like we're just happy so to honor you.
Honestly. I'm like, I have to keep going because I know Ive's going to listen.
Absolutely. And I really hope you do. I love what you guys are doing. I hope that you continue doing it. Of course, at your pace, you know, do what's healthiest for you. Mm-hmm. But this is just, it's so fun to listen to. It makes me smile. And I just appreciate you guys.
Dude, aw, thank you so much. I appreciate you.
For real. So thrilling. All these episodes are too special. I never know how to end them, except for, I guess, the way we always do at the end yes. of every episode at the Bee and the Berry.
Yes, because it may not be canon, but it is correct.
Ciao!